past Wednesday, we had the relic of St. John Berkman in Grand Coteau for the 150th anniversary of the miraculous healing that he performed for Academy of the Sacred Heart sister there. And I was blessed to be able to hold the relic while people came up for the blessing. And my mother, on her 86th birthday, came. And, you know, she's not baptized, so I'm praying that he'll intercede for her to come to the faith. And it was just beautiful to see the faith of so many people coming forth. Father Peter Mangum, my classmate from Shreveport, who got the relic to come all the way from Belgium, which was a miracle in itself, because when he asked for it the first time, they laughed at him and said, it hadn't left here since it arrived 400 years ago. And yet they finally gave in, and now they're all happy in Belgium because they're seeing through live streaming how many people are coming forth. And Father Peter said, up in Shreveport, people are kind of barely touching the relic. But he said, down here in South Louisiana, we're much more tactile. People are kissing it, touching it, putting their rosaries and scapulars to it and so forth, and all the little gifts that they have bought to give to people. So he says it's a beautiful expression of faith. And I saw one lady go through the line four times to get to the relic. So, and she had to wait about 30 minutes in line each time, so that was pretty good faith. And she said she was from Turkey, living in the area now, but all her family is Muslim, and so, but she's Catholic and praying for their conversion to our faith as well. And Sister Jupiter was telling us yesterday, Sister Greta, that they had a fire in their congregational house, I guess a long time ago, and one of the pictures of St. John Berkman was one of the things that was not touched by the fire at all and didn't break when they stepped on it and so forth by accident and so forth. So a nice little connection there with the Sisters of the Holy Family. So today we have the opportunity to meditate on our patron saint, St. Joseph. In years B and C, we hear from the Gospel of Luke, and Luke gives us the Annunciation to Mary. And we can call this Gospel from Matthew the Annunciation to Joseph, as God announced to him all of this good news. And thank goodness, because this is about all we know, really, about Joseph himself. He doesn't say anything in the Scriptures, but they give us a few little details about him. Now, one other possible source is from the writings of Blessed Anne Catherine Emmerich, a German nun who lived in the 1700s, 1800s, was beatified by Pope St. John Paul II. Now, these are strictly her private revelations, so nobody has to believe this, but it is certainly a great possibility. So what she says in her private revelations is that Joseph was the third of six brothers, and that he had some sisters, and they lived in a large house outside of Bethlehem, and that is where King David, of course, had been born, and that was King David's house before at least some of the walls were still from his time, hundreds and hundreds of years before the St. Joseph that we're talking about. She said that St. Joseph was very talented with his hands, and so a good carpenter. He was smart. He was simple in his tastes and gentle and pious and unambitious, which did not please his parents. His parents wanted him to be ambitious and to be something great. But he wanted to be simple and very much like our Lord. And he was teased and persecuted by his brothers. So eventually, she says that he ran away at the age of 18 to escape this persecution from his own family. And that he would often go and pray in that series of caves outside of Bethlehem where Jesus was eventually born. Wouldn't that be kind of divine poetry if that's the way it actually happened, that Joseph prayed in the very cave where later on down the road the Messiah would be born, right? What a beautiful image that would be. And he was espoused to Mary in the Temple of Jerusalem when his branch flowered with a lily at the top of it. Do we have a St. Joseph statue right here? Does it have a lily or does it have a carpenter? Does it have a little white lily in the top? Okay, there you go. Sometimes it's carpenter things and sometimes it's the lily. But it was a sign of his being chosen by God to be the husband of Mary. And then she says that he died when Jesus was age 30, right before Jesus started his public ministry, and that Joseph died in the arms of Mary and Jesus. Can't think of a better way to go, huh? To die in the arms of Jesus and Mary. And so he is called one of the patron saints of a happy death. That we too can die in the state of grace, in the blessing of Almighty God. And you remember Pope Francis, when he was elected in 2013, he had his inaugural Mass on the feast day of St. Joseph, which is March the 19th, Joseph, the husband of Mary. And he compared Jesus as the protector of the Holy Family to the protector of the universal church as well, because the church is the body of Christ. And so St. Joseph is watching over us as well. In our first reading today from Isaiah chapter 7, a very important chapter in the Bible, King Ahaz, the king of Judah, the southern kingdom, is unlike our Joseph because he does not trust in God. God said, ask for anything you want. And Ahaz was doing terrible things. The people were tired of him, his own people. And even God was tired of King Ahaz's sins. But God in his graciousness says, ask for anything you want and I will give it to you. Because God is faithful to his promises, right? But King Ahaz, out of a false sense of piety and really because he didn't trust in the Lord, says, I will not tempt the Lord. But he just didn't trust in God, that God could provide for him and do whatever God promised he would do. And so he was very unlike our Joseph, who did trust in the Lord, right? But God told Ahaz, even though you don't trust in me, I'm still going to give you a promise that the virgin will be with child and you shall name him Emmanuel. And so probably it was fulfilled in some simple way in the time of Ahaz, but truly fulfilled 500 years later in the time of Jesus our Lord, in Jesus himself, who we do call Emmanuel. God is with us. He's with us in the flesh. And Joseph was told to give him the name of Jesus, which means what? Yahweh saves. In Hebrew, you'd be calling him Yehoshua. Yehoshua, shortened to Yeshua. And in English, we make it Jesus. But Yehoshua, Yahweh saves. Yahweh saves us from our sins, right? And he is with us, Emmanuel. And so Joseph himself in the New Testament had a dilemma that his wife was with child, obviously didn't understand why, and assumed it was from some other man. And so instead of accusing her in front of the high priest, in which she would have been stoned to death, because he was righteous, wanted to divorce her quietly. And yet God came and spoke to him in a dream and said it was through the power of the Holy Spirit that Mary conceived of this child. And he is God with us and so forth. You're to name him Jesus. And this is a beautiful thing. So do not fear. And so Joseph was able to respond and trust in God's plan. So that's something for us to learn today. Trusting in God's plan for our lives. I doubt Joseph and Mary thought that they were going to be the parent and foster parent of the Messiah himself, right? And so many times in our lives, our life takes twists and turns that we don't expect, right? Has that ever happened to y'all? Amen. All right. And yet God calls us to trust in him that he is going to work it out. If we can just trust in his power and his grace to change our lives and change everybody around us as well, then miracles can happen. But if we don't have that expectant faith, then it's not going to happen, all right? We have to have that expectant faith in our Lord. Just before Mass, as I was in the confessional, I've been thinking that, you know, there's some comparisons between Joseph of the New Testament, our Saint Joseph, and Joseph of the Old Testament. Now, there's a lot of comparisons between Joseph in the Old Testament and Jesus, right? Because Joseph in the Old Testament was sold into slavery, 20 pieces of silver. Jesus sold, you know, for betrayed for 30 pieces of silver. And they both end up in Egypt and so forth. But we can say the same thing between the Old Testament Joseph and our Saint Joseph. Because in the Bible, they both had a father named Jacob. They both suffered much, and yet they didn't complain about it. They both left their homes and went to Egypt. They both were spoken to by God in dreams. Remember, Joseph in the Old Testament was the dreamer. And here, St. Joseph was spoken to in two dreams. Both are rulers of the king's house. Joseph in the Old Testament ends up being Pharaoh's ruler. And St. Joseph, the king, King Jesus is the ruler of his house, we can say. Both were pure and chaste. Remember, Potiphar's wife in the Old Testament tried to seduce Old Testament Saint Joseph, and he refused, and then she finally just falsely accused him. He went to jail for 2 years. Finally, he was liberated and exonerated as well because he was being very truthful and honest and righteous. Both experienced poverty in their lives. We can go to them, especially Saint Joseph, for in times of need, and both fed the entire world, right? When Joseph was sold by his brothers, went into Egypt, becomes the Pharaoh's prime minister, and then there's a famine in the Holy Land, and Joseph's brothers have to come begging in Egypt for food. And they don't recognize Joseph, remember? And finally he says, "It's me, Joseph, your brother." And he opens up the grain bins of Egypt for his brothers. And so he was able to basically feed the entire world during this famine. And so Saint Joseph, he leads us to Jesus our Lord. Saint Joseph brings the Holy Family into Egypt, right? And Jesus is the bread of life. So he gives us his body, his blood, soul, and divinity. And that's why we come to Mass every Sunday to worship and praise our Lord, to give him thanks and to possibly receive him in our bodies as well, and to be strengthened by the grace and the power of our Lord. So Saint Joseph is a great saint. He's our patron saint, so we can rightfully give thanks to the Lord for him and ask for his special intercession to follow Jesus very closely, because he protected Jesus and Mary when King Herod wanted to kill them. The whole plan would have been lost, right, if Joseph hadn't obeyed what God had said to him. So listen to what God wants to tell you this week, how he wants you to live your life, and God can do great things in you. Trust in him, and he will bless you abundantly. Let me conclude with this little poem about Saint Joseph. "Look down to us, Saint Joseph, protector of our Lord, who followed you through deserts and gave you blessed reward. Our foes are yet about us. Be strength now at our side. Be light against the darkness. Saint Joseph, be our guide. We venerate your justice. The Gospels praise your name. You are the saint, all humble, who gained eternal fame. In your devoted family, our souls in trust confide. Direct our way to heaven. Saint Joseph, be our guide. Saint Joseph, pray for us. Amen." Amen.